Hi, everyone. My name is Tim. Welcome to the All Out Coach podcast. This is your show that shares some memorable messages of mentorship from guests that I invite and from some ideas that we share together in our community. Well, a lot of these moments can change your life. So today, I'm very excited about presenting to you David Alto, who has a new book out called The Fear of Confidence. And he'll talk to us about how to confidently share your messages on LinkedIn and in life. He's a content creator that's incredibly generous that I connected with recently. He helps many people with careers, resumes, among many other important skills and roles that we have to assume in order to change our life. David, I'm so glad to have you here to share some of your knowledge with our listeners. How are you today?
I am fantastic, Tim. Thank you for inviting me. Obviously, you know, we connected on LinkedIn to obviously then made this happen. So thank you for having me.
Sure. You shared so many great tips on LinkedIn and on career development with me that I can't wait to share them with our audiences, with our networks. But before we do, I'd like to ask you, Dave, to talk about how you transformed your career. Give us a little bit of a background on your journey.
Sure. So I was a multi-unit, a district manager in the retail world for a very long time. And then about 2 years ago, almost to the date, I started getting to be a little bit more active on LinkedIn. To be honest, I was afraid that the company that I was working for was going to sell, franchise. So I needed to get, on LinkedIn yet again and be really active. I really was, looking for that new career and ended up kind of finding a niche maybe that I subconsciously knew or didn't know that I was good at. And December 2019, I left my day job, to provide, resume, career and interview coaching amongst LinkedIn tips and guidance as well too. So it's been about, 13 months. Things are going fantastic. And I have this amazing platform of LinkedIn where I get to help people every day. So it's very, very rewarding.
You have many followers. I know you have thousands of followers, over, I believe, 15,000 connections and more than 30,000 followers.
Yes.
Yeah. The comments that I saw on your posts of yours were just very organic and very genuine. And they showed so much respect for you in this LinkedIn community, Dave. In just our discussion since then, you shared a lot, so many interesting nuances about LinkedIn that not many of us know. So whether it's a busy professional who knows that LinkedIn is an important platform, but who may not have the time, not necessarily post all the time, or somebody who's more active across social media, I think all of them across that spectrum can benefit from your tips and from what you do on a daily basis. So let's start with just that first tip that you told me, which was, sometimes it's best to follow someone rather than connect with them in order to organize your feed, custom tailor your feed.
Sure. So, I'll discuss that, a little bit. Yeah. So immediately when you connect with somebody on LinkedIn, LinkedIn has you follow, their content. So you max out at 30,000 connections, but you could have millions of followers. And there's plenty of people on LinkedIn that do amazing things that do just that, have millions of followers. But it's okay to connect with somebody or follow somebody if they live halfway across the world, if they live in India or Russia or Australia. You never know. Networking isn't about today. It isn't about making a deal today. It isn't about getting the sale today or making a connection today. It's about what you might be able to do later for that individual or that person, that other person's connection does for you. So, follow the people that have, maybe they're doing the things that you want to do or you see them as quote unquote, influencers on LinkedIn. And I mean, that's the way to get started on LinkedIn is go to your feed, follow different companies, different leaders, thought leaders, people, maybe Elon Musk, Gary Vee, or whatever, but follow them and start commenting on some of, don't just like, in fact, I thought I wished the like button was gone. You know, commenting is where the magic happens. That's where the learning and the sharing happen. And that author of that post, you know, wants engagement between, you know, the people that are commenting. And again, that's where the magic is. And, you know, you said maybe people don't have enough time. Well, I guarantee you people are wasting enough time on Facebook or what, some other platforms. If you just devoted maybe 20 minutes every morning, you know, to engaging and commenting, I think you might find that LinkedIn is just more than, you know, for job seekers and recruiters. Now it's where B2B happens. It's where B2C happens. And I've met and nurtured a lot of true relationships on this platform.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, you know, many years ago when I was beginning my career path in the pharmaceutical industry, that's the idea that I had of LinkedIn, that it was merely a job seeking platform or a recruiting platform. I think it's not just a platform of communication, but also of learning, educational platform for me as well. What are some particular features, Dave, that you suggest to use? But are there particular features that you like or new features of LinkedIn?
I mean, there's one that hardly ever knows about. It's that 10-second little audio recording that you can do. So LinkedIn has a feature. Now you have to record it on your smartphone. You have 10 seconds to record something. Now LinkedIn created it. Maybe your first or last name's really tough to pronounce, right? Nobody ever gets it right. And that's a great, now that's why LinkedIn created it. But when I got it, I said, no, wait a minute, elevator pitch, mini elevator pitch. And when you share that, maybe you share something what you're passionate about and they can kind of hear that passion in you. Now, when they read your about section, maybe they can almost hear, you know, your words coming out. So it's a feature that just not enough people, and LinkedIn it's an amazing platform, but they do a terrible job of announcing new features, new things that are coming to the platform. They just change it and let us figure it out on our own. So they do a poor job of that, but that is a feature that just hardly anybody takes advantage of, that you need to. I don't care what you do on the platform, doing that little 10-second audio, that can be a game changer.
It may be a scarcity kind of marketing mindset, right? That they may be subscribing to. But the stories are now here as well on LinkedIn, I believe.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you been using those or?
So I do not think on LinkedIn that they're going to do well. Now, others would say that maybe because I do them sporadically. But you know what I noticed? The week after stories came out, my engagement increased on my posts. Now, I think I predicted that. And here's why. As more people, it was new, so more people went to stories. So the people that were posting actually got more content because fewer people were posting and they were sharing stories. And LinkedIn is about engaging. You can't engage with a group of people with stories. You can respond to the person that wrote it, but it's just not it, for me. And I just don't think, you know, LinkedIn's trying to compete with other platforms and I get it. But for me, just stories, just the video isn't long enough. And again, I think you can use it. I think it's very strategic for you to use it. Maybe it ties with a post you did the day before or one coming up. But for me, somebody that isn't very active on other platforms, using stories on other platforms, for me, just stories just doesn't seem like it's going to hold up here on LinkedIn.
How were you able to build your following? Why don't we kind of
Sure.
why don't we talk a little bit about that?
You know, My first post, my first video, I still remember it was on January 24th, 2019. Well, why do I remember? That was my 50th birthday. And what did I post about? I posted about, I was happy I turned 50 because I could contribute more to my 401k. So a lot of people didn't know that. I posted about it. They're like, well, how do you know that? Are you a financial guru or whatever? Well, I mean, I didn't go to school, but to do any of that, but I do save a lot, and I follow a lot of other people that have money saving tips and tricks. So I shared it. Look, everybody listening is a subject matter expert about something. Share what you're a subject matter expert about. It doesn't mean that you're currently doing it. Look at what I shared, right? 401k. Information that people didn't know here in the US. So again, I learned really quick that it wasn't about editing, making everything perfect. If you cough or I just kept going. You know, I didn't have time to edit. I was still working my day job and still kind of hustling on, you know, LinkedIn. So I found that nobody cares. They care about the message. So I just kept posting more and more. I was challenged by a group of people here on LinkedIn to do this 30-day video challenge that started on July 4th of 2019. And we went 30 days posting video on LinkedIn. And that got you really comfortable posting video. I ended up going 70 straight days. Wow. And but again, that taught me that it's only about the message, because I look back at some of those videos and they were terrible. I mean, they were, but nobody said that. They said, "Ooh, nice tip," or "I didn't know that. Can we have a conversation about something?" So you got to get rid of that fear of being, you know, perfect. The thing about social media is people want to connect with the individual. Okay. When you don't sound like that used car salesman, you know, buy from me now. I just 10X somebody's, you know, money. I got my Lamborghini in the driveway sitting right next to it. I've made billions of dollars this week. But when you're genuine, especially on LinkedIn, that's when people gravitate to you. And you know, listen, I was here daily. And for whatever reason, you know, the people that liked it really liked it and was able to grow, you know, to 37,000 followers now, by sharing and learning and helping promote others. It can't just always be about yourself. And I think that resonates with, you know, some of my audience.
And what a great message there, Dave. I remember myself, I relate to what you went through, because I didn't really feel comfortable on video, you know, when I started. And sure, a lot of my early videos, they had a message, but I had a lot of criticism I received from family, from friends, but I kept going because I knew that I had a message and the right intentions for others. So I think that is going to be an important lesson to a lot of our listeners here. So before you engage, then you have to come up with some kind of idea worth spreading, right? And so did you have a particular area, particular focus or industry in mind?
Well, yeah, because of my previous, you know, coaching background, working with teams, sales, you know, I shared a lot of, you know, leadership tips or little videos or little photos or little quotes. And then because I was sharing that, people saw me as a subject matter expert. So I shared more. And on my little side hustle, I was doing resumes on the side. So I started sharing some resume tips as my knowledge of LinkedIn grew. I started sharing some LinkedIn tips, some career tips. I started doing resumes for free for people if they asked me on LinkedIn, until I realized that, you know, I might be able to do, you know, resumes and career coaching and interview prep, LinkedIn, you know, tips and advice, might be able to do this potentially full time. And, but I still had my, you know, I still had my day job. So really it was through sharing and continuing to learn about the platform, learning I had value, but in, you know, I left my day job in December of 2019, but it was August and September that I was struggling. I was struggling. Why would I be able to call myself an expert? I've only been on LinkedIn for a little while. I've only been sharing resume and doing resumes and career coaching for a little bit. So I suffered for something really real for a couple months called imposter syndrome. And if you don't know what that is, the simplest of terms is when maybe something you have gained a new skill or knowledge and you're having a hard time owning the fact that, yes, you're good at something. Just because you're new at something doesn't mean that you can't own it and call yourself an expert. Otherwise, listen, there has to be tons of different experts in every industry. Otherwise, there would just be one until that person died and kicked the bucket, and then another one would replace it. So your level of expertise depends on the audience that you're talking to. So you have to be, if you can provide value to somebody, then you can consider yourself an expert and good at what you do. So I had plenty of people on LinkedIn that helped me, assisted me, and kind of explained what I was going through, because I didn't know that I had imposter syndrome. I still thought it was some made up, you know, terminology or whatever. And, you know, pushed through it enough to start my own business. But imposter syndrome can rear its ugly head once again if something new enters your life and you're having a hard time embracing it and owning it and really allowing yourself to say, hey, darn it, I'm good at this.
You know, I learned about imposter syndrome for the first time 2 years ago. I was asked to present to my my former class that had graduated 16 years before. And it's something that's very real now, particularly in the kind of business environment in which we live, I think, where you have a lot of leadership and little feedback, little time for mentorship. That's a deficit, almost a luxury, as a result of which you may not feel as an employee, as somebody who is engaged or is valued for their efforts, for their time and contributions, you know? So that's why you have a lot of employees changing jobs, changing roles, thinking many jobs ahead, because they don't understand the impact of their work. You know, and I'll share with you a personal story as well, Dave. You know, there was a particular problem in how metrics were evaluated and how they were perceived by many people who were passionate about their role in my function, in the medical function, in the pharmaceutical industry. But it wasn't that easy to implement some of the new ideas, right, in this industry, right? It's a very regulated industry, and at least in the environments that I was exposed to. So I actually found LinkedIn, writing a LinkedIn article on my case studies, on my perspectives, that really resonated with a lot of people in my industry. And that then actually was the momentum that really just gave me a lot more voice. I started to do webinars, educate those in my industry on innovative ways to look at metrics and KPIs, for example. So I want to ask you about LinkedIn articles, since LinkedIn articles played a very important role in my career and or personal branding, if you will. What are some suggestions you have on LinkedIn articles?
You know, LinkedIn articles are usually a pretty slow go. So I could post something today and within 24 hours have, you know, 2,000 views, 5,000, 10,000, 20,000, whatever, a post, right? But an article, because generally, you know, you have to read it for, it's a, you know, 1 minute, 3 minute, 5 minute, maybe a 10 minute read, right? Mm-hmm. So people have to be devoted to you or the subject. So, but the neat thing about articles is I encourage people to write them because they're also searchable online. When people search for them, they can find your article that way through LinkedIn. But, you know, articles allow for the person that's really tied to that subject to really discuss it. And here's a way for you to think about articles. Write an article that is timeless, meaning not something in the news today, right? Write something that, again, that you could share for a long time. I posted an article in September of 2020. I think I have about 2,800 views of it. And for an article, that's an awful lot. That's because I reference it a lot. I also, you can take an article, and if you think about an article as like a book, it's probably got a few different chapters in it, right? Well, guess what? If it's got five little sections in it, take one of those and make that a post and reference the article. No. Send it to a client. Send it to somebody that you know, and I do that, somebody that's struggling with LinkedIn or resumes. I'll say, hey, before you hire or do anything, here, at least, here's this article. Take a look at it. If you have any questions, if it answers everything for you, there you go. I've done my job. Don't write articles that are in the moment. Write articles that are, you know, timeless, that can share and make, like maybe said, like, you know, various posts that reference that article.
Other features that are free versus subscription based. Can you comment on the value? Would you encourage LinkedIn users to have those premium plans that they should subscribe to?
Or sure. So yeah, if you're going to be extremely active on LinkedIn, then yes. If you're the typical person that's on LinkedIn, you're not very active. Maybe you're only active when you're needing to find a job or whatever. Then no. What are the benefits of LinkedIn Premium? Well, you can see everybody that has viewed your profile. Mm-hmm. That way, you know, if somebody that is looking for work viewed my profile, maybe I could just make a subtle, you know, I saw you, you know, viewed my, you know, profile. I saw that you're currently looking for work. Can I share an article with you or whatever? Not just going to pitch them and sell them right away. Or, you know, again, it's a great way to, you can send more messages, send more connection requests. But I guess if you're not going to be that active and, you know, money might be a factor, then you can still do plenty of things without LinkedIn Premium. But with LinkedIn Premium, if you are an entrepreneur, a solopreneur, you know, a freelancer, you can use what's called ProFinder, a version of LinkedIn that allows you to accept clients. Like I get clients that come to me, they fill out this little form, they want this service or that service, and then I get to send proposals. And those are warm leads. Those are not cold leads. So that is a very, and it's free with LinkedIn Premium. And then of course, you know, you can always write off the cost. If you're a job seeker, you can write off the cost of, you know, LinkedIn Premium too, I guess. So if you're active, maybe you're an entrepreneur, definitely you got to get LinkedIn Premium. If you're just that person that uses it very sparingly, I think you can find other uses for that money.
Okay, great. Yeah, I didn't know about ProFinder until I spoke to you a couple of weeks ago.
Sure.
Now it's right now it's by invite only, right? Even if you have LinkedIn Premium, correct?
Yeah, just recently, I've been told they're going to be changing a few little things. Okay. Before you could apply, but as long as your LinkedIn profile said that you provided those services, they gave it to you. But I think they're going to be, I can't find the answer, but you know what, Tim, I'm dedicated to, I'm going to connect with some other people and maybe ask that question, because yeah. I kind of want to know to be able to tell others as well.
Sure.
And see what's on the horizon, if that is changing.
Right.
What
you have told me is absolutely accurate, because also I tried to connect with ProFinder after we spoke, after you and I spoke, because I've had Premium for a while, not because I'm searching for jobs, but because I'm getting a lot more value from LinkedIn Learning and courses as well. And from a lot of those features personally. But the ProFinder was a feature that I became very interested in, but right now it appears that they're rolling out a new version, because I tried to join.
I can't get an answer, but that just means I'm going to have to reach out to more people. But they're hush-hush on a lot of things, so we'll see. Yeah.
Well, speaking of hush-hush, LinkedIn Live is another great component that's another great source of education for me. I'll be honest with you.
Oh, yes.
LinkedIn News, you know, LinkedIn user, a lot of other great influencers, Whitney Johnson, a lot of people who have a particular niche, you know, a particular specialty area fields that you can learn a lot about from these broadcasts with a lot of
comments. Yes.
And so what do you attend those and how do you recommend people to have those privileges? Because I know very few do.
Oh, that is true, because I've applied 5 times and I still don't have it. Maybe I should do, there's a great lady on LinkedIn, Shay Rowbottom, that applied multiple times, and she has a huge following on LinkedIn, and she finally did a little video saying about, like, give me LinkedIn Live, and then they finally did it. But anyway, maybe I need to do, I'm not that big of an influencer.
That's a great idea. I may follow you up on that.
I should do that. But no, LinkedIn Lives are great because, you know, now you get to, you know, you interact, maybe you ask some, you know, questions. I've been on several, or I've watched them. But it's a great way to find out, you know, more information from that individual, because you get to see and hear him, you know, talk, you know, more in depth. They have guests. So what I say is follow people, again, that are aligned, you know, with your beliefs and leadership and, you know, just everything. And then, you know, if they have live, try to catch it, you know, whenever you can watch the recordings of those. But those are great, because usually, again, you're going to get a little bit deeper in. You can ask questions. Sometimes I've been on ones where I've been just watching it and they allow you in to maybe answer a couple questions on video real quick for a minute and then, you know, kick you back out.
Oh, great. I didn't know that.
But yeah, no, those are amazing. And I've been told they're going to give LinkedIn Live to everybody eventually.
Right.
But LinkedIn does everything slow. So maybe that'll be like 10 years from now, everybody will have it.
Slow, but definitely with a lot of impact, I think.
Oh, yes.
Because, yeah, it's the one platform that I find most valuable to me, you know, in this distracting world where there's easy opportunities to just lose focus. So one question I want to ask you, David, is to address those people who may think that, look, I have an idea. It's important to me. I don't have a lot of views. I don't have a lot of comments, but I'll keep posting. I'll keep commenting. And I don't know what analytics to look at. But, you know, so do you have any tips for that? Those kind of people?
Sure. As well? Sure. You know, first of all, yes, you just got to be consistent, please. It's like that snowball, you know, rolling down the hill. It'll eventually get momentum. Okay. Yeah. I'm nobody special today. I was nobody special 2 years ago. I'm just like everybody else. I was just consistent and said, I was just going to see this thing through. I didn't think that all this would happen. But yes. So listen, if you're going to make a post, you need to use hashtags. You need to use about between 3 and 9, the first 3 hashtags you use, they have to be followed by millions of people. You go into the search bar, you put the little hashtag #, then you type in, you know, and you'll see that it's followed by 2 people. That's definitely not one you want to use. Okay, so the first 3, listen, there are plenty of hashtags out there that are followed by millions. There's hundreds and hundreds. And you're going to find ones that are in your niche. And then the next 4 or 5, you know, the 5th, the 6th, the 7th, and 8th, and 9th can be then ones that are a little bit more strategic, or maybe one that you've made up that that you tell people, hey, if you really want to see my content all the time, you know, follow this hashtag and use it. But again, those first 3.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I learned that as a result of speaking to you. So thank you so much for that advice, Dave. If you go on LinkedIn from a laptop, from a desktop, I have not been able to find the numbers of or the popularity of hashtags. It only gives you a list of hashtags. So where do you get that info?
Sure. So if you do go into the search bar, you should be able to type in hashtag and then type that word. Now, sometimes I found that I hit enter and it does that. It just gives me a list of stuff. And then I go back and do it again, and then it gives it to me. I think it's a glitch. But yes, if you just go into the search bar, you should, and it should then give you exactly how many people are following. And here's why.
Wow, I don't have
Here's why. Listen, about only 1.some% of every user on LinkedIn is active. So if there's 700 plus million, only about 1% are active. So that would go same thing to the people that are following those hashtags. And, you know, the first couple hours of engagement on your post mean a lot. So if Tim, if you post something today and you are, you really, you know, think it's valuable and you want a lot of comments, you need to be around on your phone or on your laptop or desktop to be able to respond to those within the first couple hours. Mm-hmm. So first couple hours of engagement is the most important, because then what the algorithms do is they say, well, Tim's post must be pretty popular because he's getting a lot of comments. So they push it out to more of your audience, to more of the people that are following the hashtags. Right. So that's when, again, then more people can see it. And again, just be consistent. I get posts that sometimes only get 200 or 300 views, and then boom, I get one with a couple hundred thousand. Not that often. But so again, you know, be consistent every day, or maybe you're just starting and, you know, a couple times a week, that's fine. Right. Do what you do. Yeah. But never think that you're posting too much, because listen, I post 2 or 3 times a day. They're not always videos. They're always just whatever, polls, a picture, a video, or whatever. But your followers and connections are not going to see them all the time, because they're not on all the time. They're just not going to see it all the time. But just like advertising, Coca-Cola doesn't run one commercial a year, right? They run multiple commercials on multiple platforms all the time to build that brand.
Of course, yeah.
And that's what you're doing on any platform, is just being consistent. And eventually it will continue to grow as you grow and learn more on LinkedIn.
Yeah. And going back to a person who is very busy, has a 9-to-5 job, they're not able to post that often. Would you suggest for them to post in the evening at a particular, is there a time strategy just so that they can comment and just monitor the activity on that post or weekends?
Sure. So on LinkedIn right now, Tuesday mornings, Thursday mornings are about the best for engagement. Morning. So whatever the morning is for you. Now, remember, we live in a global society though. So sometimes my posts at 10 p.m. do well, because I have connections and followers all over the place. So 10 p.m. might be the morning, might be Tuesday morning or Thursday morning somewhere else. So it really depends on where your connections, where your followers are at, you know, on the globe. But again, generally, Tuesday mornings, Thursday mornings are about the best for engagement, anywhere between maybe 6 and 9. It's when people are going to work, getting ready for work, maybe just getting at work, maybe goofing around, maybe traveling, you know, via bus, train, or whatever, maybe driving. No, hopefully not texting and driving.
right.
But so again, those are about the best times. But I've had other times where, I mean, a year ago, Sunday mornings at 5 a.m. And yeah, I get up pretty early even on the weekends, but Sunday mornings at 5 a.m. for whatever reason was, and I never looked into the analytics of why, but for whatever reason, like posts at 5 a.m. for me on a Sunday would blow up. I didn't go back and look. This has been some time ago. Yeah. So again, it depends on your audience as well.
Is there a particular app you use for analytics?
You know,
you suggest?
So because I post so much, about a year ago, I was going, oh my God, you know, I got a post right now, I'm busy, you know, whatever, right? So there are software out there that allows you to, you know, generate posts at a later date. Hootsuite, I use Hootsuite, but there's others out there that allow you to build content to put out on multiple platforms at the same time in the future. You could be on vacation and have some content, right? Now, there are a few apps that I use to not edit video, but to add maybe closed caption, you know, caption down on the bottom.
Right. Yep.
I use those occasionally, but to be honest, you know, the phone, you know, and when you shoot video, you know, please turn, don't shoot video this way, shoot video this way.
For LinkedIn.
And that is fine. I mean, eventually you might use a little gimbal, which is a stabilizer that allows you, your videos to, you know, a year or so ago, a peer of mine before I left my day job said, Dave, I have some tips and advice I can give you. And he wasn't, you know, active on social media, but he goes, if you get this, your hand won't shake, because try holding your phone even just for a little bit. It's not because you're weak. It's just because after a while, your phone starts to shake. Well,
yeah.
Things like this, again, you
so
know,
that's not just a tripod, but a video stabilizer. Let's make that clear to the listeners and those who watch.
Yeah. So yeah, it allows you to move around, and then your phone just stays, you know, it's self-leveling, about $150-$160. Now in the beginning, again, it doesn't matter, but if you're going to put content out there constantly, walk around with it. Walking around with it's just so cool, because again, there's no, it doesn't move or whatever.
Right.
So eventually, but I didn't use that or get anything like that until way, way later, you know, when you up your game. But in the beginning, again, just get that content out there. You're a subject matter expert at so many things. Share a little 50-second video clip of that. Don't worry about it. Nobody's going to say, oh my God, your hair was a mess. Well, they're not going to say that with me, but but they're not. They're going to say, wow, I learned something. I didn't know that. That was very useful. Can you expand on that? I'm going to share that with somebody else. And that is the amazing thing. Only once in a while on LinkedIn, or you're going to get some haters or some people that really say some bad things or whatever. Only very, very seldom. But I've only experienced just amazing givingness of others on here.
Before we go into your book, I want to ask one question about your personal opinion on the trend among many LinkedIn users to incorporate their life activities on this professional network. What is your opinion on that? Because there were many people who were, you know, who were opposed to it, you know, and then vehemently opposed it. They said, well, LinkedIn should not be in Facebook, should not be Instagram, but it's slowly converging to become a very kind of life work kind of experience and balance and harmony, life work harmony on LinkedIn platform. So what do you think? Should people post their personal life?
Here's my thoughts. You post what you want to post. Here's why. You know, we got a new family member about a year ago, a little French bulldog, and about a year ago, and I shot a little video and I shared it on LinkedIn.
Yep.
Why did I share it? Well, I did, a couple people wanted to see it. I'm not that active on Facebook. And so I shared it, right? Now, I think I did have a couple people say, hey, that doesn't belong here. And I said, well, I'm sorry, you know, that you don't like it, you know, too bad.
I agree with you.
But people on LinkedIn, at least, right? You know, when you share stuff about yourself, or what if you just went through something and somebody else can relate to it or whatever? I think it allows, you know, more people to really then connect with you. I mean, they liked your content before. So listen, you know, again, you post what you want, because now, I mean, you have these followers and connections before, you know, they followed you because I was posting about resumes or LinkedIn advice or whatever, resume to, you know, whatever, right? But now you become more real. And listen, we build friendships away from social media. I know now all we do is Zoom because of COVID or whatever, but we build relationships when we get to learn and know something personal about that person right now. Now you can share as little or as much as you want, but that's when the magic happens. So again, share as little or as much as you want. And nobody wrote rules. I don't remember reading anything when I got a LinkedIn account that said I can't post things about my dog or whatever. And again, think about this. If more people might be leaving Facebook because some of the, you know, content right. on Facebook, right. well, they might want that LinkedIn kind of face. They missed that thing about Facebook. I mean, right. I did post something about my dog not too long ago, and somebody said they appreciated it because when they left Facebook, they left it, but they kind of want to still see that, that those kind of things once in a while. So you just post what you want to post, as long as it's not too political or too religious, yeah. and I think you'll be okay.
Yeah, I agree with you, particularly in the kind of world in which we live today, where we're all seek more inspiration, more meaning, more purpose, right? More attention, real attention, because of just where we spend a lot of time on Zoom. We're lonelier than ever. We're more distracted than ever, and we're more specialized than ever. So whenever you can bring something new, add energy, excitement. I mean, I on my last company update, David, I went as far as just actually doing a freestyle rap video. And I'm not a, believe me, I'm not a freestyle rapper. Although I have rapped and freestyle rapped in four languages back to back once in with my family. But that's it was an isolated, you know, event. You're not, you're only an expert at something that you can do consistently, I believe. So I can't consistently rap. But I did that in order to bring something new, bring a more personal flavor to my update. You know, my instead of just having a company update, I actually accompanied it with a video. That was still relevant to my job. And so so that was something that I had done because I firmly believe that you have to incorporate and integrate your personal life into work. That way you bring your genuine self to the professional environment, colleagues. Yeah. So yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
And you know, for LinkedIn, you mentioned the rules for LinkedIn. I actually have to mention this since we're talking about LinkedIn.
Sure.
I had the privilege of actually being at LinkedIn. And they have this one room called the Speakeasy Room, apparently, that I actually was able to see, where they still have many different rotary dial phones at the entrance, at the door of one room, which after you open it, there's a bar there for people or employees who work at LinkedIn. That I only saw that in like 2 years ago when I had the opportunity to go there. And I remember I posted that, you know, on LinkedIn, and it got a lot of views, a lot of comments. I've tagged some of the influencers on LinkedIn.
Sure.
But, you know, the one message that's clear from LinkedIn is that in terms of their vision is that they want to create an economic opportunity in every single professional who's a member of this platform,
yes.
which they really give a lot of opportunities to do, I think, you know. And so with that in mind, you know, with having the confidence to use this platform, I want to talk to you about the intriguing title that you chose, The Fear of Confidence.
Sure.
You know, what is the inspiration for the book?
Okay. So, you know, I shared a little bit about suffering from imposter syndrome in, you know, mid 2019. So, all right, October 20th. 2020, not that long ago, right? I had my first paid speaking gig. Now, I've spoken, I've given speeches in front of my previous career, right? In front of groups and my peers and whatever, right? But being paid for it, right? So, you know, I had my speech down. I, you know, knew it up here, everywhere. Even the night before, I went to the room where I was going to be, you know, presenting, and I did it. I videoed myself. I crushed it. Day of the event, maybe the first 5 minutes didn't go so well. So what I did the very next day, October 21st, I flew from Orlando, where my speaking engagement was at, to Seattle, Washington, about 6 hours. And well, with the thoughts of that first 5 minutes, beating myself up, how dare I ever do anything like that again? I needed to get all that out. I needed to eliminate it right away. So I started typing on my laptop. Nothing else to do, right? Can't talk to the person that's a space, but you know, beside me. We had this, the seat between us, you know, open for COVID, but I didn't know them and, you know, can't talk to them because of COVID and everything. So got on my laptop and I started journaling. I've never journaled in my entire life. I type extremely fast. Thank you, Mom, for telling.
Great.
Thank you, Mom, for telling me to take typing. I took 3 years in high school. I still type 70 words a minute. I needed to get that out. And by the time I landed in Seattle, I was like, I had forgiven myself. I knew that the next time that I did this, and there will be a next time, that I won't go through that because I had suffered from imposter syndrome yet again. Even though I was confident about the speech, knew it, knew the material, right? Could live it, but I was being paid. It was the first time I was being paid. So I didn't give myself permission to say that I could do a good job. So I struggled in that first 5 minutes. And then after that, I just kind of, you know, but again, so I wrote it. Now it's not a novel. It's not some 300 pages, but it's sharing my journey with imposter syndrome yet again, a little bit about my experience on LinkedIn. And then I share some quotes and some other, I share a couple doctors in the book and talk and where they talk about how fear impacts us mentally, spiritually, just how fear and how the lack of confidence really hurts us and really hinders us from sometimes doing something new, reaching a goal, or allowing ourselves. The title was really, the title came quick to me because again, it was about confidence, you know, about being, you know, afraid, that fear. So it's really the fear of, again, allowing yourself to be given that confidence. So that's how the book came to be. I received some great feedback from some people suffering from imposter syndrome kind of already. And again, it's not going to change any lives other than, again, you know, or masses, you know, again, it's not going to be on the New York bestseller, but by journaling that.
Not until people are going to listen to it on All Out Coach.
Well, that's right. You have millions of followers there, listeners. So, writing this book was more about just me, just getting it out so that it never comes back again. Or if something, you know, I might suffer from imposter syndrome yet again, from something new that comes into my life, but I know how to conquer it a little bit better. And so that's why I wrote
it. And you share how you conquered it in the book, correct?
Oh, yes. Yes.
So that's what you look forward to, guys.
Yeah. And I think by sharing some insights to some medical, you know, individuals from their perspective on fear, on confidence, I think the two really merge to make, you know, a good book because it's just not my story. It's you know, how fear enters us. It's how, you know, confidence escapes us. So, you know, combining the two, I think made for a, you know, pretty decent book. And then I quote some people here that I consider friends on LinkedIn, because again, I wanted the book to be not just about me, but how other people maybe see fear or confidence as well.
It's an incredible trend that is so real. And it's one that needs to be overcome because of just so many opportunities with which we can communicate, I think, and share our ideas, whether it be LinkedIn, or others. You know, I did a video that I shared with you when I heard about your post first. And because it was a related video, I commented and I liked your post, as you remember. And that's how you and I started to talk, right? And got met. And, you know, I think the goals of confidence are really to engender trust and influence on others. And, you know, life takes many different turns and we learn to be a little bit more firm, more confident, because people tend to trust people who are or who appear to be confident, right? That's what you gain out of being confident. But too many people, I think, on the other side of the token, mistake confidence for being vague or being cold or giving someone a lack of attention and therefore validating their own status or their own power or their own experience, where they end up losing on important relationships. They cut dialogue short and they lose out on important opportunities, because every dialogue is an opportunity for a relationship. Every relationship is an opportunity for a collaboration, for success, right? So to me, the confident people are people like you who have true connections, who have real relationships, who have their own character in which they're absolutely assured, and also the character that allows them to stand up for other people, stand up for themselves, and stand up for other people, people who comment on your posts, people who you helped on your resumes. So that's my, idea of how why confidence benefits us. And I'm so glad that people have your book to overcome any fear they may have, to spread the ideas that they need to, just like you're doing. I don't know, is that some of the, what do you think about, what did you think about that video or my, you know, my thoughts on confidence?
Look, we all have flaws, and it's okay. And it's okay that we're afraid to take on something, but you can be afraid or cautious and still do it. But if you do not have and own it, and that's where that confidence and owning, I think, just, are one in the same. So you have to be able to own it, because you could be afraid of, again, you could be afraid of something, but if you own it and you do it, right? So, a lot of people that know me personally outside of LinkedIn, they would have said, fear and confidence, that's not you. What are you right. talking about, right?
Right.
But again, we have our own flaws. And this isn't everybody I know, but for me, it was always about my teams, right? My teams got me the results, quote me the results, right? And when we did well, I praised them. When we didn't do so well, I took the ownership, just like a coach on a football team or right. any type of coach. A good coach, right? Rewards the team, and when something happens, it's on them.
Yeah.
But again, so, praising yourself, for me, or saying that, darn it, I am good at something, doesn't come naturally to me. Because again, for me, it is always about the team. And that's what the approach I take on LinkedIn. I love promoting others. I love the fact when I get
that shows.
Oh, thank you. If I get a new, if I find a new problem or solution, or I hire a virtual assistant, I go, hey, I just freed up a ton of my time for a very little amount of money. This is amazing. Reach out to somebody or do this or do that. So, sharing others has just been something I've done for decades. But I try to stay humble. Yes, I have lots of followers, but again, I don't have those followers if I don't provide, value, and I'm genuine in the delivery of that.
And sharing ideas is often the product of asking the right questions, which you now taught me and reminded me that you can do more now on via polls on LinkedIn, because they're trending, right? They're getting a lot more attention and traction now.
Yeah, polls are amazing for two reasons. One, somebody, has to vote, right? Yes, no, or multiple choice, but they usually comment as well. And when somebody votes, they're kind of given their permission to you kind of following up with them. So about a month before my book came out, I did multiple polls, some asking, have you suffered from this or suffered from that or this or that? And kind of giving people, giving permission for those people that voted for me to follow up. And I found one individual that said, yeah, I'm suffering from this. I don't know what it is. So I had a conversation. I sent him my book for free because one, he wasn't asking for it or any of the, you know, asking for the book or whatever. But I thought he could benefit from it, and he really enjoyed it. And we're going to have another conversation here later. So polls are really good for future engagement. Again, not always just that B2B or B2C or selling them something, but that could spark, you know, a conversation or whatever. So polls are very trendy right now. Obviously, you don't want to do them every day, maybe a couple a month or whatever. But it's great for, again, continued conversation and dialogue, depending on, you know, the question that you're asking.
Yeah. David, you mentioned virtual assistants, and yes. You know, my thought there earlier, my remarks on trust, people trust people who are confident. So how do you confidently give trust to virtual assistants, or how,
sure,
you know, because virtual assistants then have access to a lot of your passwords, everything,
sure,
privacy issues. Can you talk a little bit about the trust factor in virtual, sure, assistants from your experience?
Well, for one, I interviewed more than a few. And, you know, I found somebody that, you know, I wanted a virtual assistant that kind of knew LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. They don't post for me. They do some other stuff behind the scenes. But yes, with passwords, but I wanted somebody that knew LinkedIn. So I looked at various, you know, content. And again, I think it's just, I mean, you trust your employees, right? And you trust them because of the time and the nurture that it took. So I didn't hire the first person. Maybe I followed them for a little bit, asked additional questions. So again, you have to have some type of trust. And what you're going to get in return from hiring a virtual assistant, you can find things to get rid of. You know, yes, you're going to have to spend a little bit of money, but you're going to earn and get time.
Yeah,
whether that's time, better, right? Time to do something else. So again, I'm very trusting until somebody gives me a reason not to. Just like, let's face it, a lot of people are working from home now, right? Well, companies got to entrust that, you know, and I know a lot of companies didn't want to do this, or a lot of managers are like, oh geez, if Sally's working from home, she's just gonna screw around with the kids, or, you know, this person's gonna shoot video on LinkedIn all day or whatever. But if they do the work, you know, or, you know, reach out to some references or whatever. So hey, we gotta be trusting. We can't just cynical.
There are companies that are now pivoting, that are providing unlimited paid time off to their employees during this pandemic and virtual environment, in which they've found that people actually end up working more when they're trusting their employees. To your point, your points that you mentioned earlier, Google actually has some no meetings weeks. Apparently, I read where there's some weeks where no one has virtual meetings because they respect people's time and their attention and the deep uninterrupted work that they can do without virtual meetings also, and they trust. So it's a very interesting perspective on confidence that we have, and that the confidence that we give others, that we share with others as well, I think. Thank you, David, for so many great insights. I think that many listeners will now be much more inspired to be more confident in sharing their ideas. I want to give this opportunity to you to share any idea that you want to spread.
LinkedIn is pretty much it for me. So all you have to do is go find me on LinkedIn. I'm happy to connect. If you've ever been a job seeker, you know, maybe you've been applying for hundreds and hundreds of jobs and not getting any responses, I'm more than happy to share maybe an article or two to see if that can help you. If not, then sure, that, you know, chat with me. But what I'm looking for by doing this is connecting and learning from more individuals, right? Because I truly believe in the power of networking, and we don't network for today. We network for the future. So if you're looking to connect with somebody maybe on LinkedIn that is very active, sharing resume, LinkedIn, career, interviewing tips, then come find me. I'm more than happy to connect.
And you're continuing to speak as well. You're a speaker as well as an author and a coach. So yes. I really recommend many of you who listen to invite David to speak, to coach on a wide range of topics. He has a great book out. Follow David Alto on LinkedIn and across socials. David, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you for allowing to share, and we'll definitely have to stay in touch.
Absolutely. And thank you for your mentorship and your generosity.
That's very important. Thank you, Tim. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Have a great day, David.
You too.